12-month Christmas bonus in 12.
From the Employee Benefits Work Group requesting $50,000 from the appropriation for contingencies to obtain actuarial services for pension-related matters. This item was also referred to the Committee on Finance and Audit, and they approved this item by a vote of 5-0.
Attorney Greedy.
Madam Chair, the Employee Benefits Work Group was tasked in the budget with looking at capping the backdrop was the language in the budget, and we will need actuarial assistance to do that. We were also tasked with the, from this committee, I believe, at looking at the defined contribution pension plan option, and we need actuarial assistance to perform that analysis. And then the budget repair bill that has passed and is being signed today will require actuarial assistance as well in the future. And so we have asked for those three reasons. There was no funding given to the work group for those tasks. There was funding given to the work group for healthcare related matters, but not for the pension matters. And so we need some funding for the actuarial assistance to do those three tasks.
Okay, I'm going to open this discussion up a little broader, but before we start that, specifically on this $50,000 for the benefits work group, any issues related to that issue?
I just wanted to move to concur with finance on audit's action.
Okay. So our resolution is to concur with finance. Any comments or questions, Mr. Green? Stay there. Let's take the vote on the resolution, and then we're going to get a little broader discussion.
Borkowski.
Aye.
De Bruin.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to concur with finance and audit is approved.
Now, yesterday, about 3:30, I understand that there were quite a few employees that came to, correct, Richards was at your office.
Do you want to
explain what the situation was yesterday?
It's my understanding that several employees are now requesting retirement as a result of the budget repair bill. Mr. Schrader will be more in a position to elaborate on the ramifications from that. But in general, DHR has been quite busy.
Do you know about how many folks, and Mr. Schrader, maybe you have a better idea?
As of yesterday, about 10 o'clock, we had 10 walk-in employees who wanted to immediately retire. Now, our operation is based on scheduling and appointments. It's a pretty elaborate process, and these people wanted to retire immediately. So what we did, we had them sign a statement. We gave them three basic forms to sign so they could secure the retirement date they wanted. You know, and we advised them that they may want to wait, you know, to get more information and make a well-informed decision. But regardless, we accepted those 10. We probably have another 10 this morning right now. So we are being inundated with walk-in employees.
And the first question, do you have the staff that can address these requests?
Well, let me paint a little picture. 3 years ago, we were doing about 20 retirements a month. And as ordinances have changed in the last 24 months, the 1.6 factor, the 64 age, the employee contributions, that requires computer reprogramming in many cases, so there's an expense. And the retirements increase. We've doubled initially to 40 a month. We are currently doing 60 to 70 a month. And with this inundation, I'm expecting the next 2 months, perhaps 100. So what are we doing? We are stretched to the limit. I've pulled clerical staff to help out the best they can on some of the peripheral processes that could be done. I've pulled management staff. I'm pulling everybody I can. So we are really under the gun, so to speak.
And I assume if you are going to get to the point where you need to address this, you will create a game plan and communicate that.
Absolutely.
To you. with the board.
Absolutely.
Supervisor Borkowski, do you have some questions?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and this might be a good segue, because I know that my office started getting a lot of calls. I actually have a few this morning, and I believe the genesis of this is that there is a lot of misinformation that's being disseminated to our employees, that that as soon as the governor signs this legislation, that any benefits that they've accrued is out the window. And so I know, and I guess what I want to know is the update as far as I know that we had a group of people that was working on a question and answers for any employees as far as what this all means from a legal standpoint. And it was my understanding it was supposed to get out yesterday. It's now my understanding that it's on Lotus Notes now. I guess, Madam Chair, I'm asking what that message says to all of the employees and how it's disseminated.
Right, and I know we have several people, Attorney Shady.
Speaker, once you acted on the matter, it's no longer before you. You've already acted on that particular item. So this matter is not really appropriate for discussion at this time regarding these gentlemen and the nature.
Well, we can certainly ask questions. This is an item that's clearly noticed for discussion.
Right. Yeah, we voted on it.
You've already taken final action.
Do you want a motion to reopen the item? We could reopen the item.
That would be more appropriate.
Ma'am Chair,
that's my mistake, I guess.
Madam Chair, I voted in concurrence with the majority of the committee, so I'd like to make a motion to reopen item 12.
Reconsider.
Reconsider
item 12. Thank you.
Reconsider item 12.
Any comments? Please call the roll.
Borkowski.
Aye.
DeBruin.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Madam Chair. Six ayes. Zero no's. The motion to reconsider item number 12 is approved.
Attorney Shady, I assume that we are correct now to discuss this matters before us. Supervisor Borkowski, any other questions that you have? I think we were trying to get a game plan.
Yeah.
And I think we have Mr. Cooley here, and we have Mr. Mester's here.
Mr. Hare.
Attorney Gray, you wanted to say something?
Just briefly, as Madam Chair, as I assume most of the supervisors saw, a communication went out late yesterday mm-hmm. from the county board chairman and from the county executive to all employees through Lotus Notes. And the intent, the employee benefits work group worked with the county board chair and county exec on that communication. And the intent, obviously, was to at least start to get at what Supervisor Borkowski was talking about, is to try and get a message out there that there is not a immediate dramatic ending of benefits, as Supervisor Borkowski indicated, and to try and get people to, as Mr. Schrader said, make well-informed decisions, take some time to think about what they're doing, and to realize that things are not changing today. And that message was given as briefly as possible, about a page and a half. It is the intention to give a more detailed message as we can formulate it, but that couldn't be done that quickly. And so we wanted to get the quick message out yesterday to do that, and so the county exec and the county board chairman did that. We do intend to work forward on a plan, not only to get information out to employees through a frequently asked questions kind of document, but also a plan going forward for the county board and the county executive on what are the next steps.
Supervisor Borkowski, you have the floor.
Does anybody have a copy of that? I'd like to have it read into the record.
Mr. Mester, I think came out of your office, so I...
Oh, then you should read it. You can read
it. Go ahead and read it. I think everyone would like to hear what that was.
Yeah. Yeah, give us your radio voice on this.
No commercials.
Madam Chair, the communication is from... Marvin Pratt, the interim Milwaukee County Executive, as well as Lee Holloway, the Milwaukee County Board Chairman, dated March 10th to all Milwaukee County employees. The subject reads, Impact of State Budget Repair Bill. With the pending adoption of the Budget Repair Bill by the legislature, county employees are probably wondering how the legislation impacts their jobs. We want to reassure our dedicated employees that Milwaukee County will carefully and publicly review any and all employee benefit policy changes that are permitted in this new law.
The first thing we want to emphasize, the new law does not automatically change Milwaukee County's existing pension benefits or existing retirement eligibility standards. If you are eligible to retire today, you will still be eligible to retire in the future. The changes in collective bargaining rights impact Milwaukee County employees differently than state and other public employees, but many aspects of the new law will need to be implemented either by state law or budgetary necessity. A frequently asked questions document is being developed to address the detailed questions employees may have. In the meantime, here are a few quick points that may help employees understand the law as it pertains to their county job. One, none of the provisions of the new law affect members represented by the Deputy Sheriff's Association or the Association of Firefighters. Two, if you are a member of the Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals, Milwaukee Building and Trades Council, TEAMCO, International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, and the Association of Milwaukee County Attorneys, the terms of those contracts remain in effect through December 31, 2011. Item 3, if you are a member of AFSCME District Council 48 or a non-represented employee, the only immediate requirement of the new law is for the county to collect a pension contribution from you. The amount of that contribution must be actuarially determined for the county retirement system each year and may be a different amount than what has been reported for the state retirement system. The county will implement the contribution requirement as soon as feasible, but the amount collected will be retroactive to the date the state legislation was adopted. This contribution will supersede and replace any contribution already being made by non-reps. These are only a few of the issues that employees will be concerned about. We are certain there are others, and as mentioned previously, a detailed, frequently asked questions document is being prepared and will hopefully address your concerns. We also want to take this opportunity to again express how proud we are of employees, both for their regular service and their high degree of professionalism during these difficult times in our state capital. Your service to Milwaukee County is appreciated and held in high regard by the county executive and the county board. Thank you for your continued service.
Okay. Thank you. I'm not sure I heard the answer to the main question that I'm hearing, and I think and that is that the DC 48 people recognize that they don't have a current contract, thus the old contract is still in play. Okay, and so there's some feeling that they're not under a contract, but that's not correct because they're under the old contract. But more importantly to them, they're saying amongst themselves that any benefits that they've accrued, be it Rule of 75, be it backdrop, be it any benefits that they've accrued, they're saying that the word is that they're not going to see a dime of that. And I don't know if that message legally talked about that. These are property rights, and that's really the genesis of what people are concerned about.
Who wants to try to?
Yeah.
Attorney Green.
Madam Chair, it sounds like a legal question.
Okay.
The message that Mr. Messer read does indicate, with respect to paragraph number 3, AFSCME employees,
okay,
that the only immediate action that the county pension is required to take,
right,
is to begin collecting a pension contribution.
Right.
Nothing else is immediate. Nothing else will happen short of county board and county executive action. In response to your question, to the extent there's rumors out there that people are going to immediately lose their backdrop or immediately lose their pension benefits because of the passage of the bill, the answer is absolutely not.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I think that the second question in that is, I guess it's a grandfather question. As of what date do those otherwise benefits that they would have had under the prior law, which extended contracts that hadn't yet been negotiated, when does that date occur? And do we know the answer to that yet?
My understanding from talking to outside legal counsel is that it's his position that the provisions of those contracts are going to continue with respect to those benefit levels until the county board or county exec take action. Now, all of that is subject to constitutional limitations, and my assumption is, for example, that the county board is not going to just abolish the pension plan or attempt to abolish the pension plan and not, period. I mean, that wouldn't be legal, and it's not something anybody's even contemplating. Obviously, at some point, the county board will have to think about implementing a 1.6 multiplier for AFSCME mm-hmm. employees. Mm-hmm. We'll have to think about implementing things like Medicare Part B reimbursement, exclusion, as you've done for non-reps. But those are all things that will have to take action by the county board and the exec down the road whenever you get to that point.
So it's your understanding that the old rule, that when there was not a contract in effect, that they were still working under the prior terms of their prior contract, remains in effect until this board takes action?
That's the understanding we're operating under, yes.
And I can say, as chair of the personnel committee, I think I'm speaking for everyone, we will not be disrespectful to our employees.
And I Mr. Bowes is stepping up, and I do think there's a couple caveats to that, and that does not relate to benefits. It relates to more labor matters. An example, fair share and dues collection, union release of union employees for union activities, grievance procedures, those types of things may not continue. But the benefits issues that you're asking about will.
And I think everyone has questions, so who was next? Supervisor Schmidt.
Okay, thank you. Well, I had to take a little leap. I got these questions asked about a week ago or so already when AFSCME employees and people did call. And then so let me make the statement and see if it jives what I've heard so far. And I just said, well, we'll find out more, but certainly, and we said in our budget deliberations, there's no way, nor do we have any interest in taking pensions and health care and all the benefits that people have. I've always understood these are, it's called fiduciary benefits. You can't take someone's pension away, okay? That's been collectively bargained previously, okay? That's part of their heritage or their retirement, what they signed up for, as well as paid-up health, the ability to pay health and then use it for sick leave. So unless I'm corrected by Mr. Shavey or Mr. Grady or someone, I'm presuming that those are fiduciary benefits. I'm talking particularly pension and health care benefits that retirees have right now, okay, that any of us have, that you cannot take a benefit away, particularly the pension benefit. Am I correct in saying that?
Mr. Grady?
Madam Chair. Yes, correct, Supervisor.
Okay. Then the other thing I said, I think that's been verified. The other caveats that Mr. Mester read here, as far as the other unions who have settled with us and have contracts, okay, so like the firefighters and like the deputy sheriffs, of course, the other unions only have to the end of this year, 2011. The deputy sheriffs and the firefighters, like the entire state, the governor exempted them from the requirements. They can negotiate. AFSCME, with the passage bill, which the governor will sign, he said, as soon as possible, of course, they will lose the ability to negotiate, okay, and the things we just mentioned. So some of the things that I guess we'll hear about the next month as far as grievances, all that is gone. The only thing that unions can negotiate now is wages. And I'm not going to get into all that, but that's extremely limited too for lots of reasons that we talked about yesterday in finance that have been well written, I think, in the papers, et cetera. So,
question.
The question will be then if, the specific one I was thinking about was 60 to 64, okay, because the non-union reps went from 60 to 64. It went from the 2 to 1.6, so all the stuff then would have to be negotiated through or the board would have to ask for, as you stated before. So I just want to, that's where we are. Is that right then, please?
Madam Chair, that's correct. If the county board wishes to change age 64 retirement for what had been an AFSCME benefit for AFSCME employees, the way it was done with non-reps, I believe, was for new hires, and I assume it would be done the same for newly hired AFSCME employees as well. The multiplier was changed for current employees, current non-reps. I assume that the county board, if it's consistent with its budget that it's adopted, would apply that then to AFSCME employees at some future meeting of the county board.
And just for clarity, we're not talking about any action that anyone's doing. We're just trying to get information.
Right. I'm just talking about things that are already in your 2011 adopted budget, things that the county board has said, these are what we want from our employees, all of our employees, to the extent we can get them either through ordinance action or through collective bargaining. And the things that you've talked about as examples are the 1.6 multiplier, the age 64 retirement age for new hires, Medicare Part B reimbursement, overtime rules, health care plan changes.
Supervisor Smith.
Thank you.
Supervisor Rice, did you have questions?
Well, just a comment. I think this is a useful discussion, but I think it's fairly far afield from the item that we've got on our agenda number 12. And if we want to have the discussion, I think it should be agended as a specific discussion item regarding the budget repair
right.
bill.
And I think the concern of the committee was with regard to the growing number of the ranks of folks coming in for retirement.
Which still doesn't apply to actuarial services for pension-related matters. Thank you.
Supervisor Sample.
I'm fine.
Supervisor DeBrun.
Well, I know Supervisor Rice just tried to rein us in a little bit, but I guess I do have a broader question. If it needs to be reined in, that's fine. I guess my concern is that with the additional projected retirements as well, that may even be more coming in. Some of the unions right now are actively trying to discourage their members from acting out of fear, et cetera, so that's good. But we have some specific areas where high numbers of county employees are already eligible to retire, such as the Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals out of mental health and in the jail. I'm sure there's other pockets of other unions where we have high number of retirees, and I just want to make it very clear that I am concerned that the county move forward with contingency plans for how to, if that were to occur, there's a high level of retirees coming in those specific areas that they have contingency plans in place and how to provide adequate staffing. And obviously I don't think it's given the agenda item to go into all that today, but I just feel like this is something we have to reiterate. I because of my knowledge of the Federation, I know the high and past reports about their high level of retirement eligible staff. That's one example. There may be others, and I would hope the administration, and I'm glad the representative from the county exec's office is here today, because I think that that is something that the county exec's office could help take the lead on helping to coordinate to make sure that we don't have any critical services negatively impacted as individual employees make their decisions about retirements. And I just would request a follow-up report, maybe next cycle, to this committee as to that kind of contingency planning.
Appreciate that, Supervisor Bruin, and that those were the concerns I had as well in trying to discuss this. And I just want to finish by asking both Mr. Cooley and Mr. Johnson if they have any comments they want to make in terms of trying to communicate with our employees. There's a lot of misinformation out there right now. A lot of people are overreacting. I don't know if you want to make any further comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to say that I'll make sure that the county executive understands the brevity of this issue and make sure we do everything from our office to make sure that all communications that can be made will be made and will be made clearly and distinctively.
Appreciate that. And I think it was great that both the county executive and the county chairman put out a joint memo to our employees. I think that bodes very well for the county when you see that kind of coordination. Teamwork, absolutely.
Definitely, and I can say that you'll see more of it, at least on the interim period that we have. Thank you.
Do you need the motion again, Madam?
Yeah, I think we need to get back to the motion on
number 12.
Yeah, since it's reconsidered.
Mr. Session, what do you think we're doing here?
Well, because it's been for reconsideration.
Right. Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to concur with the Finance and Audit Committee's action on item number 12.
Right. And I apologize to everyone for the unfortunate procedure that's going on here. It's strictly my mistake, but we could do another roll, Madam Clerk.
Borkowski.
Aye.
DeBruin.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to concur with finance and audit is approved.
Thank you. Appreciate everyone's help on this.